Are you willing to raise your hand if you've ever been asked this question? See, Joel puts his head up no matter what. If you've ever been asked this question, just raise your hand. What do you want to be when you grow up? Look around at the people who didn't raise their hand. They're lying. Now, this is a little bit harder. Can you imagine, remember, can you guess, can you estimate how old you were the first time you ever heard that question? So what do you want to be when you grow up? Maybe you were just a youngster, but with your fingers, can you just lift up your age? How many years old were you? Let's just see. 5. Bill's trying to go 22. You can see that. Now raise your hand if that question has ever been the cause of anxiety for you. Yeah. See, we turned down the house lights a little bit low because it does kind of bug us sometimes. What do you want to be when you grow up? I can think of a lot of reasons why that surfaces in us some trepidation. After all, our culture teaches us to be anxious about most things. Our culture seems to work overtime in so many ways to make us a little bit on edge. Our culture likes to confuse or conflate the distinction between a job and a calling. Our culture, our society, is often organized in such a way that it wants to conflate or confuse the distinction between career and what? And vocation. They're not the same thing, are they? We want to imagine that our work defines our value. Imagine that our paycheck is somehow a marker of our worth, our value. If I say the name Steve Harvey, do you know who I mean? Think Family Feud? I don't watch that show, but I saw him interviewed someplace else. Steve Harvey is the roly-poly, happy, large-teethed guy who is the host of Family Feud these days. And he had been invited for a personal interview with the then-president-elect Donald Trump. And the reporter, you know, asked him on the way out of Trump Tower about whether or not he was looking for a job in the new White House. And no way. But then it kind of went on a little bit. And in fact, he started to joke about whether or not he could get an episode of Family Feud that would have the Trumps on one side and the Clintons on the other. And everybody kind of giggled. But then he went on, and it sort of surprised me. He was asked more questions, and, well, with a deeper sort of wisdom than you might expect from a game show host, he said, "Your career is what you're paid for, and your calling is what you're made for. Your career is what you're paid for, and your calling is what you're made for." So what do you want to be when you grow up? That one kind of bubbles up worry in us for another reason. I think a lot of us aren't sure that we got it right. Or if we're still looking forward to that, not sure we will get it right. Depending on how we look and our perspective on our lives at the front end or at the back end, we wonder, did we miss the train? Did it just go by in such a way that I got off at the wrong stop? That all of this played out in a way that makes me wonder if I just totally missed it. You know, milkman, what was I thinking? or that guy who sets up the pins at the bowling alley. You know, they don't need those anymore. I thought about, you know, a bookstore owner. You know, so many possibilities, so many avenues. But then we stop and wonder if we're too dumb or not good enough or people won't respect me. We love to ask those 5-year-olds or those 4-year-olds, "So what do you want to do when you grow up?" And we ask them because we're genuinely interested. And we also think that we'll hear some interesting things, that there'll be some imaginative answers. We'll hear something about astronauts or NFL quarterbacks, and we start to think about the Halloween costumes that might accompany those sorts of things. But then we ask the question to older kids, to high school kids. And there's various forms of the same question. We'll ask, what kind of work do you want to do? Where do you see yourself in 10 years? What major are you thinking about in college? And we ask that because we're curious. We ask that probably because we kind of hope they'll think of something that will be affirming to ourselves. But inside, I think you ask a 16-year-old that question, and right away starts to churn the panic in their bellies. They're left feeling like they have to find an answer by looking through a tiny, tiny hole. A tiny hole where only things visible are what the world says is are things that we should value. Popularity, profit, pretty small window. And somewhere along the line, the question changed from, what do you want to be when you grow up, to what? What are you going to do for a living? Do you see the difference? I've quoted David Brooks before. I don't know if it's his latest book, but Social Animal. It's the one where he borrows on earlier work from his own Jewish tradition, where there's a kind of a distinction made there between the virtues that organize our resume and the virtues that organize a eulogy. And then he plays off in so many ways the difference between those two sensibilities. The resume virtues, well, those are prized ambition. Things like skills and experience. We measure ourselves in terms of achievement and success. It's all about what we do, right? But the other kind of virtues that Brooks likes to surface have a different kind of logic, have a different way of looking at the world. His other paradigm, the virtues of eulogy, things spoken over us at the end, carry a whole different lens and measure of life, a way of appreciating our lives in terms of character, in terms of intentions formed by relationships and by sacrifice, by love. If a life of the resume virtues has an external logic, all about economic values, cause and effect, etc., etc., well, then the life of the eulogy virtues has an internal kind of logic, something from the heart, a place where meaning is prized over accomplishment. Doesn't ask how, what's it ask? Why? Why? Only then do you discover the sort of upside-down nature of things, of real things, says Brooks. The inverse nature of things that are true. We give in order to receive. We surrender in order to find strength. We control our desires and our appetites in order to find what we need. In order to fulfill ourselves, we forget ourselves. And that life itself is a commitment to things that take more than one lifetime to achieve. So what do you want to be when you grow up? Jesus found them on the beach. It's probably useful to notice it's not the other way around. Did you notice that? Jesus found them on the beach. Found them minding their own business, doing their work. Found them casting their nets, mending their nets, working their nets, storing their nets, cleaning their nets, filling their nets, emptying their nets, doing net things, doing net work. But then Jesus says to these persons that he's found, he just says to them two words. What are they? Follow me. Follow me. This divine summons, a calling. Follow me. Now, maybe they thought they were going to be joining an organization. Maybe they imagined that they'd be learning new skills. Maybe they thought they'd be figuring out how to do better or do more. But instead, Jesus asks them into a relationship. It's not about the how. It's not even really about the why. It's really about the who. invites them to accompany the teacher, invites them to be in the presence of God, to be loved by Jesus, to be loved by God. Reinhold Niebuhr says, nothing that is worth doing can be achieved in our lifetime. Therefore, we must be saved by hope. Nothing which is true or beautiful or good makes complete sense in any immediate context of history. Therefore, we must be saved by faith. Nothing we do, however virtuous, can be accomplished alone. Therefore, we are saved by love. Jesus said to them, "Follow me." And immediately they left their boat and they followed him. Adlia will soon hear, "Follow me." Maybe she'll hear it again and again and again and again. Hear Jesus say it to them so long ago. Maybe even hear Jesus say it to us right here and right now. "Follow me." Ready? "Follow me." One more time. "Follow me." Oh, say it like you mean it. "Follow me." Amen.